Thank you, Pastor Sexton, and it's a joy to be with you. And it's a great privilege to stand here this evening. I'm grateful for it, and I'm thankful for you. Thankful for you coming this way. I'm sure we'll find out who came the farthest and all of those things. I've been looking forward to meeting you, and it's a great blessing to share the Word of God with you for just a few moments tonight. I don't know if it's best to have the first message or the middle message or the last message, but here we are nonetheless, and I'll do the best that I can with it. I wasn't joking when I said I look around and I think to myself, what am I doing up here? I'm here because Pastor asked me to be here, but I have no idea why he asked me to be here. But I do want to be an encouragement and help to you. I'm grateful so much for what the Lord has done in our lives. It is the wonder of my life to know that my bride is at my side, and she is my third grade sweetheart. We go way beyond high school sweethearts. What she said is true. I met her in the third grade. Her family came to church. I did go home and tell my mama I'm going to marry her, and I did marry her. And I am grateful that God got her heart right so she could do that. And we have had the most wonderful journey together. I think a lot, in fact, maybe most days, more days than not, I think about our time at Crown College. I remember the first time I met Pastor Sexton. He actually was preaching a meeting at our church, and I met him kind of from a distance, and then we went to see Crown College, and he was so very kind to me and to Jennifer. We were dating at the time and had made other plans, other arrangements, and within 2 weeks' time, God completely changed our direction. And my daddy came home and he said, have you ever heard of Crown College? Dr. Clarence Sexton is the president of the college. He said, I think you ought to go to college there. We're going to go up this weekend and see the place. And he called Jennifer's dad and said, they're not going where they were going. He said, I think they need to go to Crown. And her dad said, well, tell me about it. So we all loaded up that weekend, and in the middle of the summer, probably the worst time to visit a college, and we showed up and went to church and just had the greatest time. And from 1995 to 1999, we were able to be at the college and at the church. And I think it was a miracle time. I tell everybody that. Those years were miraculous years. But God changed my life during those years, and I'm forever grateful. And when I say that, I'm learning more all the time what that means. The things we're grateful for like that, we really are forever grateful. There will never come a time in eternity where I will not be praising God that He allowed my path to cross with Pastor Sexton and have the influence and the heritage in my life that God gave me because of that, because of him, because of Mrs. Sexton. This country is forever touched through their life and ministry. And now here we all are together, and it continues to bear witness of what God has done. And I agree with the preacher. I believe that these are the greatest days. And if we don't believe that, then what are we doing? Let's continue to have faith in God and have hope that He's not finished with us. And you're here as an investment in your life, in your marriage, in your family, your children, your grandchildren. You're not here to waste time or just to get away. You're here because you have a burden and desire to know and see God do something great in your life. I believe that things like this, meetings like this, emphasis like this, is more important now than it ever has been. And I think there's a greater need for it now than there ever has been. Let's not try to back up at all. Let's find ways to press forward more for the Lord than we ever have before. I tell our church, when the trumpet does sound, I believe it's sounding soon. I believe Jesus is coming at any moment. But when it does sound, I want to have my foot on the pedal, doing all that I can for God's glory. We'll be glad we did it that way when we see Jesus face to face. Amen? Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter 4. We may get to 24. Joshua chapter 4. Again, Pastor, thank you so much for your kindness to us. And I'm grateful to be with the Odoms and the Plowmans. And Brother Plowman and I pastor in the same state. Georgia needs Jesus more than it ever has now. And you pray for the state of Georgia. How many of you have a burden for your state? You want to see God do something in your state? Yeah. You know, every one of our states has some type of heritage we can speak about where God worked and God intervened. But we look at it as things in the past, and I'm not sure that we've almost given up that it could happen again. But it can happen again. And I'm praying that it will. Tom Odom and I were in school probably every class together for 4 years and beyond. And the Lord sure gave us some wonderful times together. I respect these men of God, and I'm going to try to do my part to lay a little groundwork and then let some real preaching happen here in the rest of this meeting. Joshua chapter number 4 is a wonderful place in the Word of God. Pastor has asked me to speak to you along the thoughts, as you see in your book there, establishing a Christian heritage in your home. When I began to think of that, the Lord immediately brought this passage to mind. I have recently shared some things from this place in the Word of God with our church family, and so these things are fresh on my mind and heart already. I hope that, pray that God would use them to help you and encourage you. Before we read the Scripture, let me ask a couple more questions. Obviously, I saw the number of wives standing just a few moments ago. But don't raise your hand about it. I just want you to think about it. How many of you are happy to be married? Don't raise your hand, but I hope you're happy to be married. If you're not, you're in the right place. But whatever it is, I hope God can do something in your life to help you be happier. When you think about where you are in your marriage, some of you are recently married. Let's find that out. How many of you have been married less than a year? Would you raise your hand? Less than a year? And how many of you have been married over 50 years? Would you raise your hand? Look at all of those. And that's almost the same number. And anybody over 60 years, married over 60 years? And are there any hands? I don't see any. So everyone somewhere between that 1 year and 50 or more year mark, I want to encourage you to think about your heritage. Every one of us have it. And think about it with me in light of the context of this passage of Scripture here, Joshua chapter 4, verse number 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord God, the Lord your God forever. Look back with me again in verse number 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know. Ye shall let your children know. Establishing a Christian heritage in your home. Would you pray with me? And pray for me. I need your prayers. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you for the power of the Bible. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that what I say tonight will only be a vehicle for people to hear what you have to say. Lord, minister to our hearts. Speak to us in these next few moments. Lay the groundwork for this meeting that you desire for it to be. This is a spiritual meeting. Anything else, we're just going through the motions. I pray that you challenge and change our hearts. Thank you for what you have put together in marriage after marriage after marriage, hundreds of times across this building. And Lord, I pray that you would give us strength by your grace that no man may put it asunder. I pray that you'd help us to realize how greatly blessed we are with a wonderful, godly, goodly heritage. And thank you, Lord, for helping us now in this moment. And we give you glory for all that you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are some things I think all of us should do concerning our Christian heritage and concerning the Christian heritage in your home. I think, first of all, it'd be great to acknowledge it. Acknowledge your Christian heritage. I stand before you tonight as somebody that has been greatly blessed with a Christian heritage, a godly heritage. God has been good to me. It's not because I deserve it. I sure have never earned it, but God's been good to me. He smiled on me before I ever was. The Lord looked at my life and He said, I'm going to bless Thomas Satterfield with a heritage for my name's sake. I'm thankful that I've had the heritage in my life that not only taught me what it was that needed to be done for the things of God and for our Savior, but God gave me such an impact of that heritage in my life and in my heart that now He has put within me the desire to continue that heritage and to follow what God's given me. I need to acknowledge that, and so do you. I think it would be great to admit where our heritage came from. It's important to remember what the Bible says. This will be mentioned later, but Psalm 61:5 cannot be left out. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. But remember who it is that gave it to us. Thou hast given me the heritage. Whatever it is that's good and right and godly and Christ-like in your home, in your marriage, in your family, it comes from God's good hand, and I'm thankful for it. Let's admit where it came from. None of us are self-made. Everything that is awesome or wonderful or cool or great about your family is because God's given you His favor. God smiled upon you. God smiled upon your marriage. If you make it 1 year or 50 years, it's just because God's good to you. Amen. Admit where it came from. Take advantage of it. Amen. Psalm chapter 16, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are falling out unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. But where it really gets down to business is we need to accept our responsibility with it. Perhaps you are the first. Perhaps you are beginning a godly heritage, a Christian heritage. This is a gift from God, and as we are given it, we are to pass it on. I think of the unfeigned faith. What did Paul say to Timothy? It began first in his grandmother, then in his mother. Hand it down, pass it on, stir it up, Paul said. This is how it was for Israel. I'd like for you to follow a little road map in the Scripture with me tonight. Let's go back to chapter 1 of Joshua for a few moments. And let's look at what God is telling Joshua and how the Lord is laying the groundwork for what the children of Israel are about to do. Just within these few chapters, the lives of God's people are about to change for every one of them. Joshua is finding from God here some wonderful words of encouragement. Verse number 6 of chapter 1, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Then God mentions the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now notice the first word of verse number 10. What we just read is the heritage of Joshua. As Joshua said in chapter 24, verse 15, you choose what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as God was imparting, as God was reminding Joshua of his heritage, of where Joshua stood, of what God expected of Joshua, verse number 10, the very first word says, Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Joshua realized he had a responsibility to pass on to the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks at all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up an heap upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now stay with me. Look at verse 19 in chapter 4 once again. The Bible says in verse 1 that they were all passed over Jordan. The Bible says, verse 11, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. Then he begins to name some of the tribes, and about 40,000 prepared for war passed over. You see all of the people passing, all of them going. Verse 18, it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And again, verse 19. The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And how did all of this come together for them? What was it that Joshua said and that God let them know about once they got out of Jordan, once they crossed over, once they made it to the other side? What was it that God had to say about it? What was it that Joshua felt important to remind them of? He took those 12 stones, made a monument of them, spake unto the children of Israel, verse 21, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Now notice verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. What does it mean to have a Christian heritage? It means that you as a family, as an individual, realizes something about what God has done. And I want you to think about in your life today how good God's been to you and blessing you and rewarding you and taking care of you. And I have some simple things I believe that God would lay out for us here in this passage. But if you don't get anything else, remember this. God is working in your life and in your family so that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. It's not just for you to have it right. It's for those that come after you to have it right. It's not just to take what's been passed down to you and take advantage of it, but to pass it down to somebody that's coming after you. And why would God want us to do that? The beginning of the verse tells us that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty. I think you would agree with me that we're living in a very dark time. You think of all the things that the devil is doing and working in people's lives. You think of how the devil is bombarding the families of the Christian homes in this country, of your church and of my church. The devil's declared all-out war against them. I believe that the devil's coming against the families like he is because he's trying to come against the church and to destroy the church. If the devil can get to your family, he can much more likely get to your church family. He's after every one of us, and no one is exempt, and no one gets a pass on it. But what is it that God's trying to do? Why would God give me a Christian heritage? Why would He do that for you? No matter where you began in your walk with God, no matter what age it may be, if you know Jesus as your Savior, thank God for His grace. But why would God do that? Why would God deliver your family? Why would God bring you along in the things of the Word of God and the truth and the wonderful aspects of the house of God? Why would God do that? Verse 24 tells us that all the people of the earth might know the hand of God. That God is mighty. That's what God wants them to know. You could say it this way, God wants them to have a Christian heritage in their life and family as well. I want you to get in your mind's eye this whole nation standing there before the Jordan River. There they are standing. The Lord has got them in the place that He wants them to be. You see the entire nation. They're divided up in their 12 tribes. All of those families, all of those individuals. In that moment, they had each the opportunity to realize that this is what God has done for us. He has not just brought us here. He has not just brought our nation here or our people here. He has brought me here. He has brought my family here. This is my heritage. Can you picture them standing there? Holding hands perhaps? Arm in arm perhaps? Can you see the parents, the mothers and the fathers, the grandparents standing there with their little ones perhaps? Maybe they're older. Maybe there's an arm around a shoulder and they're embracing each other and they are watching this take place, waiting patiently for their opportunity to cross over and to accomplish what God's given them to do. See them as every step gets closer. They're waiting in line. They're approaching that bank of the Jordan River. And then they have their first step in, stepping over that river on dry ground, stepping out of the other side of that river. No one did it alone. They did it as a family. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to me that the name, the word together, together is found 8 times in the book of Joshua. The word house is found 18 times. Fathers is found 30 times. Family is found 41 times in the book of Joshua. Children is mentioned 136 times in the book of Joshua. When you think, well, how can I do that? Because you may imagine your family standing at the precipice of something. Maybe God has brought you to something that is impossible. Maybe God is leading you to accomplish something and He's made a lot of promises and He's worked in a great way in your heart and in your life and you see what could be done, you're just not sure if you really have the faith to experience all that that can be. You know how God has used others and you see others even stepping out into that river before you and you know it's dry ground where they're walking, but will it be when you get there? And you wonder a lot of things and you think a lot and ask a lot of questions and perhaps doubts creep in and you wonder, is God really at work in my life and in the life of my family? There's no parent or grandparent here that does not want God's best for your children and grandchildren. And now here it is, God has given you the responsibility that to take the heritage He's placed in your life and give it to them, and you stand in front of the unknown perhaps, and you're holding on to them and you're wondering if you take that step what it's going to be. I believe there's some simple things I can give you quickly of what we need to do to establish a Christian heritage in our home. First of all, I believe we need to reflect on the shoes. Reflect on the shoes. There they are. You see them there? They're about to cross the river. They're approaching it hand in hand, arm in arm. As they prepare to step in, they look down and they see something very important. Dry ground? Yes, it was dry ground. What an awesome thing. Stones? Yep, they see stones as well. But before they see those things, you know what they see? They see their shoes. Or at least they should. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, I wouldn't have known it if God hadn't just made it really come alive to me not that long ago. Let's not forget why their shoes were so special. In fact, if you'll look back just a few chapters with me in Deuteronomy chapter 29, let's remember why their shoes were so special. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse number 5. God is speaking His words through Moses to His people here. And what did God say in Deuteronomy 29, 5? I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. And thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Everyone there that day, every family except for Joshua and Caleb, were either 20 years old or younger when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Or they were born in the wilderness. Those that were 20 when they came out of Egypt are now 60. Those that were 10 are now 50. Those that were just born are now 40. And then there were all the others that were born during that 40 years. And every one of them had experienced something extraordinary and miraculous. God had preserved their shoes. God had preserved their clothes. God provided water out of a rock. God gave them manna from heaven and quail from the ground. Every single need was supplied for them. The giver of their heritage was the guardian of their homes. He had provided it all. And the same is true for every one of us. Tonight, if I can encourage you to do anything as a married couple before the Lord, look at your shoes. Look at your children's shoes. Look at the shoes of your grandchildren. And remember how good God's been to you. You are where you are. You are who you are by His grace. God kept our shoes from wearing out, hasn't He? We, in 2006, bought our first car, brand new first car. First time ever. We'd been married a few years, about 7 years, and we bought a Ford Expedition. And I prayed over that thing. You do it how you want to do it, but I thought, you know, this is a brand new car, big responsibility. I loved it. That thing would fly. But I prayed over it. I still remember going out into the driveway all by myself. And I said, Lord, I pray that you bless this car. Dear God, give me the money to pay for it. And I prayed and prayed. Would you know that I went 120,000 miles before I ever had to replace the brakes on that thing? I tell everybody, God kept my shoes from wearing out. But when I think about that, it's a little funny. But the truth is, it's exactly what we're talking about. And you know what God's done more than that? You know what miracles He's accomplished more than He has that? He's touched my children. He's put a hedge of protection around our family. He's guided and led us. And even in our own failures, He's been faithful. He never took His eye off of them, did He? Through all the disobedience, all the rebellion, they rose up to play. But God had His eye on them all along the way. I'm grateful that He does. Reflect on the shoes. Secondly, look in chapter 3 of Joshua, verse number 13. Not only should we reflect on the shoes, but according to the Word of God here, the Bible says it came to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. It came to pass when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on an heap, very far from the city Adam, and that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. Not only should we reflect on the shoes, but we should remain where we stand. If we want to establish a Christian heritage in our homes, we got to remain where we stand. Look, it says a lot about you just to be here. It tells me a lot about where you stand just because you're here. But are we going to remain where we stand with Israel and for these families and for us today in the face of Canaan, in the face of the world, with all of the assault of the enemy on our lives as the battle rages all around us? The truth is, somebody needs to stand. And we need to stay where we stand. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And who is it that stood? According to verse 17, the priest did. The man of God did. I think as a pastor, I'm not sure, depending on what time of week it is, what moment of the day it is, do I feel a greater responsibility to help my church families stand where God's got them? Or is it a greater responsibility to make sure my own family is standing where God has us? I tell our men all the time, you're the priest of your home. It's up to you, men. It's up to you, husbands. It's up to you, fathers, to make sure you lead your family in the right direction God's given you. It's up to us to do that. Their stand gave definition. What did they bear? They bear the ark, didn't they? Their stand gave definition. You know, in the ark was the rod and the manna and the Ten Commandments. The promises and provision of power and God was represented there as they stood there. Can't you see them holding that ark? Their stand gave definition. Their stand gave distinction. Verse number 15 says that as soon as their feet touched the water, God made it stand up on a heap. As soon as. But hear me. Not until then. Then the Bible says in verse number 18 of chapter 4, look at it. It came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place and overflowed all his banks. Verse 18 of chapter 4 says, as soon as they stepped out, the water came back. But watch this. But not until then. The water did not stop until they stepped in, and the water didn't come back until they stepped out. That reminds me of how important it is to God for us to stand where He says to stand and place the emphasis where He places the emphasis. It's not left up to us to decide where to stand. God's told us where to stand. Let's stand where He says and let God do the miracle work. That's what He's doing. That's what He wants to do. Their stand gave the definition and distinction. Their stand gave direction. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 3, Joshua said to the people, you got to keep a certain space from you and the priest. You watch where they go. You follow their lead because you have not been this way heretofore. You know, we found this out just in the last few years. We've never been this way before. We're facing things we never imagined we would see. Even the people of God, knowing the truth of the last days, we're realizing that we're seeing it and we never imagined it could be this horrible and this dark and this wicked. We've not been this way before in many areas. So what does God do? Does He leave us alone to fend for ourselves? No, God says, this is where the standard is. This is where I want you to stand. And it's up to us to have faith in Him, to keep our eyes on the prize and press toward the mark for God's glory and God's honor. Their stand gave duration. I like how God honored their faith when they stepped in and stood. God honored their faith with dry ground to walk over. You know, all other ground really is sinking sand. It is. May God help us to stand, and just for what it's worth, Ephesians chapter 6, having done all to stand therefore and put on the whole armor of God. You go back and study it. The context there in Ephesians 5 and 6 is marriage and the family. The great armor passage, the great warrior passage for God's people in the New Testament is centered around the home. The armor is not just about us individually. It must be about our families. May God help it to be. Reflect on the shoes. Remain where you stand. Respond by stepping. To establish and preserve their heritage in the land of Canaan, this was and had to be a step of faith. You know, faith without works is still dead. You can say it over and over all you want to, but until you step out. You know, the truth is, I heard this over and over in college. Preachers would come in, and one way or the other, they'd say something like this: what you do speaks so loud, I can't even hear what you say about the Lord. And we can talk about having great faith all we want to, but what are we doing? What is our faith giving us to step for Him? There had to be a first step. There would be no Jericho victory. There would be no possession of the land, no inheritance to receive that God had given them if there had not been the first step. There were steps to follow. Everyone ahead gave an example for somebody behind them to follow. This was a step that the fathers had to do. Again, let's go back in our imagination. Can't you see the family standing there together? I imagine there were a lot of ladies a little bit apprehensive about that thing. You know what they needed more than they ever needed before? They needed their man to stand up and say, this is what God's given us to do. And by God's grace, this is what we will do as a family. And I'm going to be the man of God for our family. And we're going to step into this river. And he led his family. It was for the fathers to step. What is the Lord leading your family to step into? What is he leading your family to do, to be, to go, to change? What is he leading your family to correct, to surrender? What is it that he wants your family to begin? Some say, if God will go ahead and part this water, if God will just solve this problem, if God will just take care of this and fix this for me, then I'll go ahead and step in. But God says, wait a minute. Before any of that's going to happen, you've got to step in first. Respond by stepping. Remember, the water did not recede, the flood did not disappear until they stepped in. Let me give you this one as well. What should we do to establish and give a Christian heritage in our homes? Raise up the stones and rehearse it to the sons. It's what the Bible says right here in chapter 4. We've read it 10 times. I didn't mean to go back and read that scripture over and over again, but it's good, isn't it? Raise up the stones and rehearse it to the sons. That's what they did. They got the stones right out of Jordan, and they set up these stones as monuments. These stones were moved with them. As they came out of the Jordan River, 12 stones came with them. I think it's interesting to point out that there was a monument of 12 stones set up outside of the Jordan River, but there was also a monument of 12 stones set up in the Jordan River. In and out, as God does the miracle, don't ever lose sight of where you came from and what God brought you through. Look back over it, but it doesn't just end with the moving. There were stones that had a message with them. They rehearsed where they came from to their children. They rehearsed who did it for them to their children. And they rehearsed that He did it for them. This was especially for the children who were not even born yet. I mean, the truth is, all the children that were around that day knew what happened, didn't they? So why would God say, raise up a monument of stones so that when your children ask, whose children is He talking about? Their children's children. Those that wasn't even there. You know, I've heard this said over and over. I remember, I have it written in one of my Christian note takers' journals from, I mean, the originals. We were around with the original note takers' journals. And I have a note written there. Here's what it said. Who's going to tell your children what God did for your fathers? Pastor Sexton. And I ask you that question. Who's going to tell your children what God did for your fathers? Who's building monuments today? Who's building the memories of it today? If He did it for them, He'll do it again. Who is telling the new generation? Who's setting the record straight? Who's telling the old story? Who's telling it that it's true? Brother Jonathan gets up here and sings a song that he wrote, and I think to myself, that's some of the most wonderful words I've ever heard in my life. And I think of this man here, how God is establishing and raising up people that comes not only before us, people that not only serve the Lord with us, but people that come behind us. It gives me hope to remember that God is not indifferent to all of this. He is very much in control. And everything may be falling apart in this world, but when it comes to the people of God, when it comes to the families with a Christian heritage, if we will allow the Lord, He's trying to remind us all the time, I'm in control and all is well with me. Trust me. Raise up the stones and let Him know what I'm doing. Let Him know what it's all about. Before I give you the last thing, I got to throw this one in. Remove the stuff. I don't have time to do it. I wouldn't do it anyway because I don't want to get too distracted, but you can't really talk about all of this in the right context without mentioning that they did go, and they did, the walls of Jericho did fall down, didn't they? Then in their arrogance, they went to fight Ai with just a small army. But they didn't realize what had happened. Achan had taken of the accursed thing, hadn't he? He messed up. And the Bible says every time until it got to Achan, the Bible says the people have taken. The people have sinned. The people have taken advantage. That tells me a lot. I want to think in my life what has been taken that it should not have. What is hiding that it should not be hiding? You know, parents start small. Little sins. Little things. It begins with a look. Then it begins with a desire. Then it begins with possession. Then it ends with possession. And then it takes everything that we possess that we hold dear. Parents often act alone, but they forget that it affects everyone. Remove the stuff. The reason I use the word stuff is because that's the word Achan used. Joshua said, Achan, man up, own this. This is on you, admit it. And Achan said, I have taken, I have sinned, and I've hidden it among the stuff. You know, the Bible mentions in Hebrews chapter 12 that we should lay aside every weight and the sin. It's not a sin to have stuff, but it's a sin to let your stuff have you. And I believe we've got a lot of things hidden among the stuff. And we're talking about establishing a Christian heritage. We love the comfort of our stuff. And we love to be able to hide out about it. But the Holy Spirit of God, every time I check, is still the one that fingers in our hearts and points things out to us. What is it that needs to be removed? If you're ever going to establish a Christian heritage, you're going to have to remove the stuff. It's interesting to me that in Joshua 24... Joshua did not tell the people, don't bring in the gods of Canaan. You know what Joshua told the people? Put away the gods that you've already brought in. Could I say this to end tonight? To establish a Christian heritage in your home, remember the Savior. I could have probably just said that and been done in 2 minutes. Because the truth is, that's what it's all about. What was it that God wanted the people to really tell their children? God wanted those children to know. Tell them who I am. Tell them what I can do. And if they'll be faithful to me, what I've done for you, I will do for them. Let's remember what His purpose is. It was about crossing. It was about a conquest. Hey, it was about confidence in the Lord. This is not a time to be a coward. It's not. It's not a time to compromise and cash in and give in. It's not time for that. It's a time to realize the purpose of the Lord. Let's rely on His promises. Let's trust Him and know His power is the same. I was thinking about it before I got up here. I needed to be reminded of this tonight. I'm preaching about and serving and praying to the same God that divided that water that day. That helps me in knowing I can lead my wife as long as I'm following the Lord. My children have hope as long as their daddy keeps his eyes on Jesus. Let's remember the Savior tonight.